My parents had a store at Augustenstraße 96A. My father was a basket maker, a very un-Jewish profession, and my mother had worked as a bookkeeper. When they had the Tolzina basketry store, she helped in the business. There was little Jewish about my father as I understood it. He was a master craftsman like others. In the evenings, he sat with the others, played tarot, and drank beer. It was the same every evening. I grew up with the other boys in the street and went to church with them. There were no Jews at all in the area where we lived. We weren't religious in any way. The only things we observed were New Year, Yom Kippur, and Passover. No Sabbath, no. And so things went on until I was 11. I went to the Türkenschule Elementary School. I was the only Jew among approximately 200 pupils. I never experienced any anti-Semitism. I don't recall lessons in religious instruction at elementary school. I don't think there were any. Then, at the age of 10, I switched to the Gisela Realschule, junior high, in Schwabing. During World War I, we even had classes in the university. I can remember when Hitler was just beginning in the early 20s. There were a few who ran around with swastikas. If someone called out Jew, my friends would beat whoever it was up. But from the age of 10, my life changed. I joined the so-called Bar Kochba, a Zionist organization, and it practically became my entire life. Every Saturday and Sunday, we went hiking and in winter skiing. It completely absorbed me. As boys, we read Landauer's Call to Socialism. That was our milieu then. My friend Manfred Hesse's family ran a drapery business close to Marienplatz. Großhandel Gebrüder Hess, it was called. Manfred became a doctor and went to America. I took my craftsman's exam as basket maker and was seriously interested in social and political issues. At 18, I opened a cooperative in Munich. I wasn't the proprietor. At 18, I was too young. Someone older in the Zionist youth movement, Blau-Weiß, owned it. We were a workshop and we made furniture. We lived very simply in Munich, not because we were so poor, but because we knew nothing different. We had a two-room apartment with a junk cupboard and a kitchen. Inside the living room, over the door, it said, "Welcome to this home." I'll never forget how good it always was to read that. Then I started working as a basket maker in my father's workshop, but something changed in me. I was still a Zionist, but I realized I had to learn something. I took drawing lessons in the evening. Then, when my father was away on business, I applied to study at the Munich School of Applied Arts. I was accepted. That was a big deal. It wasn't easy to get a place there. My father returned. "What's all this about?" he said. "What are you up to?" "I want to become an architect," I replied. "Architects are out on the street selling socks. What's the sense in that?" Actually, I didn't want to become an architect, but a doctor. But I had no Latin and only 6 years elementary school. I didn't have the necessary money to catch up on these things. Speed was essential. So I studied for a semester at the Munich School of Applied Arts, but I was very disappointed. The school was very unprogressive. I looked around for somewhere else and discovered the Bauhaus. That really fired me. Now I wanted to go to the Bauhaus. No one had taught me architectural design and I had to submit a project. I constructed a model of a water sports club and sent it to Dessau. Then I received a letter saying I had been accepted. So I went to Dessau and studied there from 1927. In 1931, when I was through with studying, I went to Moscow with some fellow Bauhaus colleagues. They called us the Red Bauhaus Brigade to help design and build new socialist industrial cities across the country. In 1935, my residence permit expired And then in 1937, I applied for Soviet nationality because as a Jew, I couldn't return to Germany. My family had either emigrated or were in concentration camp. I realized I was caught in a double trap. In 1938, at 2 a.m., there was a knock at the door. Two men came in and examined all my papers. I had a sort of briefcase containing all my diplomas, everything to do with my career. Everything was in there. After that, they searched my entire apartment, two little rooms. I lost everything, absolutely everything. Everything I had thought and done was eliminated in 1938. I never got anything back. I was accused of being a spy. I was condemned and sentenced to 10 years for counter-revolutionary activity. Nobody could tell me what that meant exactly. They fetched me in 1938, and from 1938 till the end of 1947, I was in a prison camp in Russia.